Welcome to the What's Awesome Podcast for all your anime needs. We do lists, guides, reviews, and anime-related topics. From time to time, we'll even bring on a guest or two. Kick up your feet and relax. And here's your host, Batman Live 2002.
Ah, the Universal Century. The Gundam series of screaming pilots, screaming their feelings and shooting each other and loving one another. Ah.
そんなことないよ, Luke. これから新世界の創生を見せてやる。
わさあすもポドキャストをお聞きいただきありがとうございます。楽しんでいきましょう。
Thank you for listening to the What's Awesome Podcast. Let's have some fun.
Yo, it's Batman Live 2002 and I'm back with another anime review. And today I will be reviewing Mobile Suit Gundam the 8th MS Team. Now, I know Gundam fans, get the fruit out of here. I know I'm reviewing this out of order. The Universal Century has a buttload of series in it, and it starts with Mobile Suit Gundam back from like 1979 or whatever it was, whenever this mug first came out in the 70s, and then it progresses to the OVAs and the movies, and I've seen all of them, believe it or not. I actually took several months, actually like half a year to sit down and watch them all. I try to do them, watch them consecutively, like in order. And there's a couple I missed, but it's pretty massive. It's a massive undertaking. I recommend doing it. It's an awesome continuity if you want to jump into this, you know, the Universal Century timeline of Gundam. But it's pretty massive. But anyway, it doesn't matter. This isn't the first series that comes in this, but I'm just going to review this because I've never done it. I wrote this, let me say, January, February, March, April, May, June 22nd, 2012. This is an old review. I watched this a long time ago. I took some notes on it and I refreshed myself on the series. So if I don't exactly remember all the details, don't spear me. Now, I will tell you this, that while I do enjoy Gundam and consider myself to be a Gundam fan, Universal Century fan, I am not a Universal Century fanboy. Now, there is a distinct difference between just a, you know, casual fan and being a fanboy. Now, the fanboys are the ones, you know, these are the guys that could tell you all the Gundam models and all the years that this happened, and Amuro Ray came here, and then Camille Biden, or whatever his name is, came here. You know, they can tell you all the series and when all this happened, and they can tell you this guy did this, and all of a sudden, this led to this. You know, in like across all 40 freaking series, they can give you a breakdown, whatever. I can't do that, all right? I watched them, I review them, I enjoy them, but they weren't the best thing. This isn't God's gift to mankind, okay? I know I'm going to piss some people off, especially the Gundam fanboys. The Universal Century is not God's gift to mankind. In fact, I'm trying my best to finish Gundam Unicorn, which is like the capstone on this Universal Century, and I am struggling. This series is Woo, it's so bad. Anyway, it's not bad. It's just, there's a lot going on. Anyway, let me get into this. So, Mobile Suit Gundam, the 8th MS Team, is an OVA, has 12 episodes, and it aired from January 25th, 1996 to July 25th, 1999. Now, there was some, I don't call it drama, but there was some issues that came with this. So, the director, Takayuki Kanda, basically, he died in July 27, 1996. And it took a long time for the last episodes to get remade, which is why it took from 1996 to 1999, basically a three-year period, June to July, from 1996 to 1999, to get 12 episodes out is because someone had to go and take up, you know, the mantle of getting this whole thing done. But anyway, so, yeah. And so, therefore, it premiered in the, what season would that be? In the, well, I don't know what, I guess the spring, when is January? Let me see. What season does January fall in? I should know this stuff. Autumn. But, no, not autumn. It doesn't matter. Oh, winter, duh. Stupid, of course. Anyway, yeah, so it's winter of 1996 was the premiere of this anime, and thank goodness for technology. I could just look this mug up. And anyway, obviously the studio is Sunrise, because Sunrise does all the Gundam series, and licensor is Bandai Entertainment. So anyway, let's get into the synopsis of this juicy bite-sized Gundam series. I'm just going to read the synopsis on my anime list. Normally, I write my own synopsis, but this is like literally one of the first few anime reviews I've ever written in my entire life. So my writing skills were crap back then. So I'm gonna read the synopsis on my anime list because theirs is far superior. Anyway, in year 0079 of the Universal Century, the Earth Federation initiates Operation Odessa, a full-scale assault to retake a major Ukrainian city from the Principality of Xeon. It is a success, and the remaining Xeon forces scatter across the globe. The Earth Federation gains the upper hand in the one-year war and deploys its ground troops around the planet to hunt down the stragglers. As part of the deployment, Ensign Shiro Amada is transferred to Southeast Asia to take command of the 8th MS team. Oh, look, it's the name of the series, 8th MS team. Anyway, a special squadron of RX-79G Gundam ground-type pilots. See, that's another thing. That's one of those things. That's one of those things that want, you know, one of those guys to be able to go like, oh, look, I could have told you that just off the top of my head. Get the fruit out of here. Anyway. In their first guerrilla operation, Shiro's team is tasked with distracting the Xeon forces, while Federation ground troops locate a mysterious new Xeon weapon. Everything goes according to plan, until Shiro runs into Ina Sahalin, probably messed that last name up, an ace Xeon pilot he met in an earlier battle, during a skirmish in space. Their reunion weakens his resolve to continue fighting, and now the young commander Shiro must prove his loyalty to the Federation, or be branded a traitor. Okay, the laugh wasn't in there. But anyway, guys, that's a synopsis. Let's get into the review, baby. To begin with 8th MS team, it is widely acclaimed to be one of the better entries into the Universal Century. By far, it is so highly reviewed. 8.03 on my anime list. I mean, that is really, that is up there. I mean, it's ranked number 494 out of like, what, 15,000 anime, whatever number of anime in existence, at least on my anime list, 8.03, 494. Like, it's really popular. A lot of people really love this series, and especially, like, just in general, but then especially for a Gundam series, this is, like, one of the most memorable, most talked about Gundam series out there, and I think I deserve it deserves a rewatch from me. Like I said, I watched this back in 2012. 2021. Today is Happy New Year, by the way, people. It's January 1st, 2021. I'm reviewing this on my podcast. It's been a while. There's some dust on this. I think I owe it a reviewing, but I'm just dusting off an old review here. So anyway, I didn't love it quite as much as other people did, but hey, it was okay. So basically, we have our protagonist. What was this guy's name? Let me look this up right with the quickness. What's this guy's name? I just had it on my screen here. One second. Yes. It's where is it? I just had it. One second. Shiro something. Anyway. Shiro Amada. There we go. So basically Shiro Amada is our cliche run in the mill freaking pilot. He is the protagonist of this series. You can base him on some of the other Gundam, morally righteous, Gundam pilots that we've seen throughout all of the Universal Century. Amuro Ray, which is the most famous Gundam pilot because he is the original. But this guy, he's not a Gundam pilot. He's like piloting like a mass produced lookalike or something like that. Don't come at me, Gundam fanboys. I don't freaking remember. Anyway, but he's not like a new type. He doesn't have special powers or anything. He's just a normal guy. And one of the awesome things, or what makes 8th MS Team so special, is that this isn't about people with superpowers, right? Like, like all of Gundam always kind of focuses on like a protagonist. He's a new type. He has abilities. He can take on armies by himself. He's always in a super ultra powered a Gundam that just can't be defeated no matter what, or something crazy like that. He can just come and change the tide of battle by himself. This is just a run of the mill, special squadron, basically. Like these are just ground troops. Like, and that's what it is. This is just literally a small snapshot into a massive war that literally wiped out half of humanity. Like, billions of people died. It's crazy. I just recently watched the Mobile Suit Gundam Origin, which is Char, who is the masked guy or whatever. I watched his origin story, and it's like the billions, trillions of people, I think it was billions of people died, like half of humanity died from this war. It's like, it's crazy. And this is just one very small snippet of a massive war that's waging all across the earth and all across space. And it just focuses on just run-of-the-mill ground troops. And that's what makes this different from all the other Gundam series out there. We're not focusing on magic boom boom protagonist man, okay? We're focusing on just regular guys, and they're really good at what they do. They can, when they went through strategy, right? Like when they fight and face enemies and all that, they're in danger. Like a lot of the time, you don't feel the pilot of a Gundam or a mobile suit is like really in danger. You just know that he's going to get out of it one way or another because he's going to use his new type magical powers to get out of it. Well, in this series, they don't got any of that bullcrap, okay? They had to rely on strategy, and they had to rely on teamwork. They had to rely on communication, logistics. And it just shows a different side to this war, this massive war that's killed billions of people, taking place in space. And what's really cool is that from watching the other series that, all this really important stuff is happening. Like, oh, this is when, they're invading this asteroid base, or when they're, all kinds of stuff. And it's just a small snippet in time. It's really cool if you're a fan of the continuity and all that. And in terms of like the action and stuff, it's really cool. It's really clean. I really enjoyed it. It's all your typical mech battles, explosions, shooting, and all that kind of stuff. The pilots screaming out their feelings, because that's what they do in the Universal Century. They're in their cockpit screaming. It's like, oh, I love you. You know how they do in the Universal Century if you watched it anyway. They do a lot of that. They do a lot of screaming of feelings and whatnot. And it's pretty awesome. This anime's number one strong suit for me is its artwork. I've always enjoyed artwork from the 90s. This is from mid-90s to late 90s, and it's just beautiful, man. You can tell, at least it feels like it's hand-drawn. And I was watching this, and I remember, I had a roommate. He paused it. This guy was a Gundam fanboy. Like, this guy knows everything about Gundam. Everything. And he just paused it, and there's this scene where one of the female antagonists is about to get killed. And it's just, you see the detail on her face. You just see the terror just etched into just every pore in her face. It was just beautifully done. It was like going back to watch Cowboy Bebop or something. Like, it was a different animation style back then. It's just in that, it was just so clean and crisp. It's just beautiful. For me, the artwork is what really made this stand out in my memory. Anytime I go back to it, I don't think of the story so much, and I don't think about like the music or anything like that. I think of that artwork. It's just super crisp and clean. It's just a clear representation of its era, or, you know, the 90s art style. It's just beautiful. Just beautiful. And another thing is that this series is like the Vietnam of Gundam series. Let me take a drink of my water. Drink of water. You gotta stay hydrated. Some good stuff. Anyway, this is like the Vietnam of the Gundam series, because they're in Southeast Asia, and they're fighting, like, in the jungle, right? Like, and you never know when an enemy's gonna pop out, and it's like, it's jungle warfare. It's pretty cool. Like I said, it doesn't take place, the beginning takes place in space, and I don't remember if they ever go back to space, but the vast majority of their battles take place in this, you know, in the jungle. So it's pretty cool in that aspect. You don't really see that too often in this timeline. I know it happens. I know there are jungle battles, and I'm sure it's like, oh, but remember in this series they fought in the jungle for 10 freaking hours. Shut the fruit up. Anyway, it's I feel like it's unique because of the small scale nature of this. It's not some massive thing. It's just a very small snapshot of, you know, just this one team. And there were other units. It's not just the one team, but we primarily focus on these fools. And anyway, so we have our pro tag, Shiro Amada, and then we have the antagonist, or she's not really an antagonist, but she's on the opposite side. So Shiro is on the side of the Federation. And for the longest time, the Federation is viewed as the good guys in the series, right? Like, we have the good guys who are the Federation and the bad guys who are Zeon. But as you get further into the series, you realize the Federation isn't exactly all good. There's like really evil aspects to this, you know, to the Earth Federation. And then you realize that the Zeon forces, who are the space colony people who they're fighting against, aren't all bad. You have, you know, that's revealed in Gundam Unicorn and other series like that, where, you know, there's good aspects to these guys. But if you had to, if you had to put it in complete, simplify it, or I should say, initially when you're watching this series, like the old school granddaddy 1979, I think, I don't remember what year it came out, but the 70s Gundam, original Gundam series, it's like, oh, these guys are the good guys and these guys are the bad guys. And then you learn as the series progresses over 40 freaking series that the lines are just gray. There's no good or bad. It's just all gray, all up in this mug. But anyway, what was I even saying? Oh, yeah. So we have Shiro Amada, who is a Federation pilot. And then you have an ace pilot named Aina, Sahalin, or whatever her name is, Aina. And it's almost like it's a love story, right? Like, he's like, oh, man, I don't want to, oh, she's on the other team. I don't want to kill her. Maybe I don't want to fight anymore. I'm just going to be in my feelings. Like every freaking Gundam series out there, the pilot always got to be in their feelings. Get the fruit out of with that nonsense anyway. But, you know, he got beat up in his feelings. It's like, maybe I don't want to be branded as a traitor, though. So I got to be loyal to the Federation. But at the same time, I don't want to, like, go and kill her. And there's more to it, but whatever. So it's almost like it's being portrayed like it's a love story. But I wouldn't call it exactly a love story. Like, it's... I wouldn't have watched this, or at least this was my observation back in the day. I didn't, like, observe this as being a love story. This was more like a bunch of action and two of the characters like each other. And I don't want to spoil anything, but it does have a love story type ending, I guess. But anyway, I wasn't super sucked into the romantic aspects. Like, I'm not watching this for the romance. I'm watching this for the giant robots shooting each other in the face. Okay? Which is just beautiful, beautiful. The best part is the artwork and the action. But anyway, character development wise, you know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. You really get into the lives of the 8th MS team. You get, I think there's like five members of the 8th MS team. You have Shiro, obviously, the commander, and then you have this really nerdy guy who's always writing back to, I think, his girlfriend or something back home. And then you have this chick and this really butch, you know, buff chick. And then you have this guy who they save in the beginning. He's like every member who's ever, you know, every time I've been part of a squadron, the third mission, they always died and I always survive, you know. And they obviously break that streak when he joins up with the 8th MS team. But anyway, so you really get and learn about these characters and you develop them pretty well. So it was great. It was pretty good for a 12-episode OVA. It really sucks you into the characters and you really get to, you get to live the life or at least experience how life was for a ground unit in this massive, you know, space opera type series where, you know, there's always something grand going on. There's always something big and major and catastrophic going on at some point. And this down here, even though it does have, I don't know how big the impact is of what happens in the 8th MS team to the grand story, but, you know, to them, it's pretty massive because this is their mission. They don't care what's going on in space right now. They don't care what's going on the other side of the Earth. They're here in Southeast Asia. They got their mission, and they have their enemies. They have their own antagonists. They, you know, and this is what it is. We're just focused on this, what's right in front of us. We don't care about nothing else. And that is what makes 8th MS team just so special. But anyway, guys, I guess I owe the rewatch. I wish I had more details, but that's really just what I recall from the series. And it's just special because it stands out in that way. It's not some grand sweeping epic. It's just a small snapshot of what's happening on the ground in this one small battle in a massive galaxy spanning freaking, maybe not the whole galaxy, but you know, an Earth spanning a war that kills literally billions and billions of people. But anyway, so my final score or my out of 10 rating for 8th MS team. Back in the day, I gave it a 6 out of 10. I was previewing it and watching, you know, I watched the first couple of episodes again for this podcast. I was like, I don't think this really deserves a 6. Like, this is not special, but over the years, like, this was literally over almost 10 years ago. What was it, 9 years ago? I've watched literally hundreds of anime since then, and compared to all the crap I watched, this is certainly not a 6 out of 10. Back then, it was one of, you know, this is probably like anime number 50 or 60, you know, like, it was earlier on in the career of Batman Live 2002 watching anime. I don't know what to give it. I don't want to just give it some arbitrary score. It's not a six. I know that's what I gave it back then, and I'm just going to keep it faithful to my thoughts and feelings at the time. But having watched it now with a more analytical eye, it definitely deserves more than that. But I'm not going to pretend like this is God's gift to mankind. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the best series ever. Oh, you know, for me, the best series, the best Mobile Suit series was Zeta. And the second half of Double Zeta. Not the first half of Double Zeta, where it's friggin' like Barney, the writer for Barney took over and made it into a comedy. And then the second half of Zeta, like, oh, okay, fire that guy and like, get the regular writer back. It was the first half. It was all of Zeta Gundam. And the second half of Double Zeta was always just, that was masterful. I'll tell you what. Masterful storytelling and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, guys, I don't have a final score, but I will tell you that on my anime list, 8.03. And that is a really freaking high score for any anime on my anime list. So that should tell you or give you an idea of how great this anime truly is. And just, you know, it lives on in the hearts and souls of anime or Gundam Universal Century fanboys and girls across the globe. Anyway, this is Batman Live 2002. Maybe I should just start reviewing all the Gundam series. It's out of order now. I should have started with the first one, but I wasn't trying to just go like, oh, I'm going to do this one and then just proceed in order. I'm just going to review them as they come, and I'll just tell you what order they fall in. This one is, it falls along the same, like the first Gundam, the 70s Gundam, you know, the first one ever created, animated or whatever. It's taking place at the same time, but like somewhere else. Like it's just, and it's, this is a whole separate story elsewhere. And then you have all the epic stuff happening in that Gundam. And then there's some movies going on and stuff. So there's a lot of stuff going on at the same time, simultaneously. That's why you gotta watch the series. Anyway, guys, if you're interested, I do have a podcast that breaks down the Universal Century and what order you should watch them all in. And you don't have to listen to that podcast. You can just go and Google it like I did. And when I first watched it, you know, I Googled it and said, how should I watch this? And yeah. Anyway, Batman Live 2002, guys, please enjoy. If you're going to watch it, I know you'll probably enjoy it. You'll probably enjoy it. But anyway, I need you guys to do one favor. Just one little favor. Stay with Sawsome, people. Stay with Sawsome. Gundam, yeah.
Follow us awesome on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Until next time, Janet!